Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Here ends our reading. Please be seated. I've seen a few situations of sibling rivalries and sibling fighting that has lasted a lifetime, in some cases even tearing families apart and relationships apart, decades after some of the incidents happened, sometimes in childhood or adolescence, that caused such animosity and difficulty between people that it was just hard to let it go for the rest of their life. The circumstances around Joseph's life and what we know of him in the book of Genesis is really something to consider, just how horribly his brothers had treated him. And from the world's perspective, if he had gone on the rest of his life harboring anger against them, it certainly would have been understandable from the world's perspective. Just think, as a teenager, maybe 14 or 15 years old, to have your brothers gang up on you in jealousy, rip your coat off of you, throw you down into a pit, and have a discussion in front of you about how to kill you, and dip your coat in blood and send it back to your dad so that he would think a wild animal killed you. And then to have one of your brothers suggest that, hoping to spare you of a little bit, suggest instead that you be sold into slavery. And as a group passes by from Egypt, you get sold off into some slave traders traveling between Canaan and down into Egypt. And Wallace wondered, what was that ride like? Was it on the back of a camel, or was he chained up to the back of a wagon? Was he whipped on the way to make sure that he didn't run away? Teenage kid, dragged off to a foreign country, didn't speak the language probably, and now gets put into positions of servanthood and probably not treated the best because of being a foreigner. Just think of all the resentment that could be running through his mind and his heart and his head about his brothers, all the memories he had of that. And as his life continues to go on, and this goes on into his adulthood now, and probably thinking, I'm never going to ever see my family again. And just how the anger from all of this could have just stewed inside of him and just remained inside of him. And how his brothers who were supposed to be the people that took care of him and loved him, had wrecked his life, completely wrecked his life. Ends up in prison at one point. Wonder what an Egyptian prison was like back at that time. Just can't imagine. Just can't imagine sitting in your cell thinking about your whole life and what had happened and how your brothers had treated you to make this all happen. I just can't imagine the kind of vengeance that might have stirred up in a person's heart knowing they'd been treated so badly like this. It wrecked his whole life. And you can tell that his brothers knew how bad this was. Because now when they finally come to find out he's still alive, you can tell by the fear that they have now that God has had him raise up to a position of power in Egypt. And he now has an opportunity with them in front of him. And you can imagine how they realized how they likewise had been so involved in this. You know, when someone sins against you in a traumatic way that really affects your life, man, that's hard to let go. That is really tough to let go. To be able to not let that just come back into your mind over and over and over again, and to just sit there seething in this kind of resentment and anger against somebody that did something unjustly toward you. And the more severe the sin was against you, the more right we feel being angry about it. And our society encourages that and sometimes even puts a spotlight on that. There's a twisted sense of justice inside of each one of us that invites us to elevate ourselves to be in the seat of God and to look down and make these judgments on others. Joseph, however, handles it so differently. He stands before his brothers and he says, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God judging you?" He's basically saying God alone has this power. He alone has this authority and this right to execute justice. And here standing right in front of him is his brother Judah, through whom the line of the Messiah will go to the Christ that's going to come someday, the great messianic promise of the Savior that had come through their family. I'm sure that Joseph's dad, Jacob, had talked to him and his brothers about this great promise of the Messiah who was coming. I'm sure that Jacob had told them about, and we have certainly some of those messages from God recorded for us in Genesis. There might have been more. I'm sure that Joseph had heard the story from his father about how his father, Jacob's brother Esau, he had stolen the birthright from him, and yet Esau had so graciously forgiven him for doing that. And apparently here in this stage in his life, Joseph now reflects back on all of this bad stuff that had happened and yet how God's hand was involved through all of this and just how gracious God had been to him. and that he has no right to harbor any anger against their sins. That's something we can learn from this story so well, to look back on all the places where people have maybe harmed us and sometimes very unjustly treated us and caused difficulty in our lives. And yet think of the God that takes care of us. Think of the God that sent his Son to be our Savior, chose not to hold our sins against him at all. In fact, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us because of the work of Christ. So Joseph now, with this blessed faith that somehow God has maintained in his heart through all of these decades, Joseph now views others who have harmed him through that very coming Messiah. In essence, here is the cross. Here's the cross of Christ right in this story. When Joseph has the forgiveness in his heart to turn and speak so kindly to his brothers. And there is a rebounding peace. There's a rebounding peace that comes back to you when you forgive. I'm going to give you one example of this in the life of a Christian down in Brazil. In 2013, there was a young boy who was shot and killed by another young man. And about a year later, they finally caught this murderer. And it was on the news, because this had been quite a well-known case, that this young man had been captured now. The mother of the boy who was killed went down to the police station, and there was news coverage of all of this. And she had asked the police officers if she could confront her son's killer with absolution, with forgiveness. And the news cameras captured this. I'm going to read to you what she said. She said to this young man face to face, "You are forgiven in the name of Jesus. I am a Christian, and I'm forgiving you. I will be praying for you that you will find the God that I serve. I don't hate you." And then she then put her hand on his shoulder and prayed for him. "Lord, be with Alasson," that was his name, "wherever he is. Don't leave him even a minute, Lord. Touch his soul as you have touched mine. And then comfort his mother, Lord, who must be suffering as much as I am. I thank you for all, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen." When we have been touched by the grace of God, and to know that all of our sins because of our Savior have been wiped away, and that we have the hope of going to heaven, it's just a natural thing in Christians to want to then show that same grace and love and forgiveness to others. When we show that compassion and that forgiveness to others, even when they've harmed us in horrible ways, when we show that to others, that's like a mini little sermon. It's like a mini little image of Christ being put in front of people. That God would have us look at others through the same cross that he has chosen to look at us. Joseph says to his brothers, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." We just sang in this beautiful hymn we've been singing by Paul Gerhardt, "God is good and tempers ever all my ill, and he will wholly leave me never." Faith is able to look through all of the tragedies and trauma that happen in our life and to still see the hand of a good and gracious God guiding all of his believers on the way to heaven. And we may be able to understand and see this in little bits here in this life, but someday in heaven, it's all going to be very, very clear to us. Amen. Please rise. Today we keep in our prayers Professor Ann Fredrickson, who continues her treatment for cancer, Jim Kracht, who is an alumnus of Bethany up in years, who listens to our chapel cast, he says, every day, undergoing radiation treatment, Reverend Glenn Smith, the father of our two students, Micah and Isaac, who's been diagnosed with metastatic melanoma, and Elias Kutz's grandfather, who is struggling with heart issues. We pray for all of these. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of all of these, your servants, Anne and Jim and Glenn and Elias's grandfather. We pray that you would be with them through these difficult times. Bring them safely to your side. Grant them faith to trust in you and your gracious care and your wonderful promises that you will work all things together for the good of those who love you. We commit all of them into your loving hands. We pray it in our Lord's name. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in his peace. Amen.